This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to talk about the rules for the discernment of spirits, the teaching of St. Ignatius Loyola. Again, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, over the last week and a half, we've been covering, there's 14 rules of Ignatian discernment of spirits. And working our way today, we're going to cover rule number 9 and hopefully rule number 10. And if you haven't been able to hear the programs, you could go to renewalministries.net. All the programs from last week are archived there. You could catch up if you need to. And if you just have a short period of time, last week's program on Friday was a summary of everything I covered. That's basically rules 1 through 4. Right now, this portion of rules for discernment of spirit that follow upon the fourth rule, spiritual desolation, is Ignatius's way of helping equip us to fight the enemy, to fight the devil's strategy that's set against us. When we discern, remember, the whole purpose of this is to help us to become more discerning people, that we're aware of spiritual movements within us, and we can get a sense for, and we can learn the movement of the Lord and the movement of the enemy by the impact that they have on us and what their movement produces in us. That's what we've looked at over the last week and a half, and it's very useful and very helpful. And Ignatius reminds us that the enemy's attempting to impede our progress at minimum of moving in the Lord's plan and will for our lives. Ultimately, he's trying to knock us out of the game by filling us with so much discouragement and a sense of futility and sadness and slothfulness and disorientation and isolation. All of that stuff he's trying to produce to get us out of the game and stop moving in God's plan and purpose for us. And when we're in these times of darkness, or what he calls spiritual desolation, it's important to have the equipment, because spiritual desolation is powerful. It feels very real when you're in the midst of it. It really is the hand of the enemy. And if we're not careful, the enemy can do serious damage to us. But if we're alert, as he says, if we're discerning persons who are aware of these movements, and we get a sense of an understanding of where they're from, we know how to take action. If it's from the Lord, we go for it. If it's from the enemy, we need to immediately resist it. And the sooner we can resist, the better. One of the things that affects our ability to resist is a sense of shame, that somehow we're responsible for this. What the devil wants us to feel in time of spiritual desolation is, this is your identity. This is who you are. You're a bad person. You're an unfaithful, hypocritical, weak. You're attracted to low things. You're never going to change. You're just an earthbound, weak, sinful, lousy person. I mean, that's where the enemy wants to take us. That's what he wants us to live in. He wants us to steal. He wants to steal from us desire for God and the things of God and all. So when you're in it, it's very difficult. And it can feel like this is life. It's an optic through which you end up looking at everything. And everything looks discouraging. And it can be easy to be cynical about everything and discouraged about everything, leading even to hopelessness and despair. So that's where the enemy wants to get us. And again, as I've said before, he wants to claim our future and to say, this is your life. This is your identity. And this is where you're going. Things aren't going to end well. There's no hope for you. There's no joy for you. It's for other people. It's not going to ever happen for you because of the kind of person you are, how weak you are because of what you've done. If we live in this discerning way of life that Ignatius encourages us to live, to be sharp spiritually and to be able to resist the enemy, what happens is it limits the length of desolations, because we actually fight against them and we make progress in the fight. If you remember yesterday, one of the things we were saying is Jesus does not cause spiritual desolation, but he permits it to happen for our good, so we can mature and learn how to fight and get stronger, so that we can attack the enemy with his strategies and we don't remain in desolation for lengthy periods of time. Because the longer you're in it, the higher probability there is you're going to stumble and fall into the very things that the enemy wants to try to produce in us. So learning how to fight and to be a discerning person is a big deal. It's important to the spiritual journey. Rule number 9. What are the principal causes of spiritual desolation? I mean, what are the reasons that God would permit spiritual desolation to happen in the life of someone who's pursuing the Lord? The first one is, you might say it's our own fault, or it's our own limitation, weakness. Because of slothfulness or lukewarmness, we become negligent in our spiritual exercises. It can sometimes be tedious and difficult and boring to do the disciplines every day that we've established for our life through the help of a spiritual director or just good counsel from friends, maybe like getting up early in the morning for prayer, reading of scripture, praying the rosary, whatever it is, or daily mass, weekly confession, whatever your disciplines are, fasting a few times a week and almsgiving and service and all that's a part of growing in the spiritual life and allowing the Lord's plan to move ahead in our lives. Some days, those things are dry, we're tired, we're sore, we don't want to do them, so we just, forget it, I'm not going to do it. So one day can lead to 2 days, can lead to 3 days. Before you know it, it's a very mixed bag. I'm not really connecting with the Lord, I'm not living those disciplines, and I begin to lose the edge. And there's a certain regression that can happen as a result of it in the spiritual life. I'm beginning to grow a little bit dull. I'm giving into lukewarmness. I'm giving into my flesh a little bit. And what ends up happening is the Lord sees it and he wants us to change. He wants us to get off that track. And it's something that we ourselves could begin. We can be the initiators of it because of giving into the flesh. You know, the flesh is in us and it's going to be in us until we die. And the flesh says, my will, not God's will. And so that battle goes on with every single person. It may not be the direct work of the devil or spiritual desolation. It might just be my own spiritual sloth or my own laziness or lukewarmness. And so the Lord sees it. He's a good shepherd and he's a real discipler and he takes your life seriously. So what he wants to do is wake you up. He wants to wake us up so that we change the direction we're moving in, so we don't end up in a place of real danger, where we end up making big mistakes and making bad decisions and fall into the devil's strategies. So he's after conversion. So that's the first way the Lord sometimes permits spiritual desolation, as a wake-up call. The second is a trial. How much are we willing to extend ourselves? I mean, the Lord wants us to grow, and as I said yesterday, to grow up, literally, to become men and women of God, to be disciples, to be saints. That's what the Lord's after, to purify us. And that we're not going to make serious progress and growth in our spiritual life until we are up against real serious struggle. I mean, the Lord is going to permit it, and he's going to permit the enemy to come at us at various times. But the Lord knows how much we can take, and the Lord knows when he's going to intervene. We need to stand up. We need to get the training wheels off. He takes the training wheels off, and we need to stand up and we need to fight. And the more we do this, the sharper our spirit is, the more clear our mind is, our emotions are in order, and everything within us as we win victories against the enemy is more ordered to cooperating with God's plan, with God's purpose. It's so important. We have to move from being children to being full-blown adults in the Lord, from milk, as Paul says, to meet, because the Lord wants to feed us. And he wants to teach us the tactics of the enemy, to understand our own vulnerabilities, to teach us how to fight effectively, how to be patient and mature and not like a scared, scattered child who runs in 10 different directions and goes and seeks every consolation because we're destabilized and discouraged in some way. So the Lord permits it because of trial. That's the second thing. And thirdly, this is interesting, to remind us that all is a gift and there's no cause for pride in a time of consolation. Here's the challenge on the side of consolation. When the Lord comes, remember just to repeat spiritual consolation, which was the third rule of the discernment of spirits, the soul becomes inflamed with the love of God. We see all things in God. We experience increase in faith, hope, and love. And we're filled with interior joy and quiet and confidence and we're buoyed and we're moving ahead. And if we're in that for a lengthy period of time, it's easy because of the flesh, because of pride and things that the imperfections that remain in us, for us to become presumptuous, to begin to think it's me, that actually I'm the source of this stuff at some level, that I'm qualitatively different than a lot of other people who seem to struggle a lot more, who don't have these kinds of spiritual experiences. Whatever it is, human pride surfaces. And that's deadly. and we can become spiritually proud, which is a very bad thing. Look at the devil. I mean, Satan, Lucifer, the light bearer, he's the quintessential example. He was the most gifted and had probably more consolations than you can shake a stick at in his, maybe that's the, I'm not sure that's the right term to use, but in terms of his presence, being in the presence of God and being filled with so much life that God had given to him. But he became proud and he said, this is me and I want everyone to see it in me. I want everyone to bow to me. I want everybody to know that I'm special, that I'm more spiritual, that I'm better than other people. That stuff can emerge even from the goods of consolation that come. Remember Ignatius, it said in his memoirs that one of the things that Ignatius did quite often, when he would think about his death, he would begin to weep. And he'd weep with joy, tears of joy. He just was he was overwhelmed with consolation of the gift of salvation and what death was going to be a doorway into eternal life. And he thought about death often. But at a certain point, he received so much consolation, he thought, you know, it's better. I've got to be careful. I shouldn't think about this too much or I become addicted to the consolation. And so this is just part of maturing in the Lord to remind us that all that we have is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Being able to live a virtuous life is a gift. Yeah, we need to work at it, do our part, cooperate with what God's doing in our life, but ultimately it's a gift that the Lord wants to give us. And it can be very easy to focus on the gift and not the giver. I can then focus not only on the gift, but I can assume that the gift is something I've produced and I'm the one and I'm the good. It's very tempting. And we have to be alert. We have to be careful. We have to be spiritually discerning and stay awake because the enemy's strategies are always going to try to lead us away from the Lord. He's hunting day and night. Peter said it. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And we can become lazy. And if we become lazy, we're susceptible. Okay, rule number 10. In times of consolation, think how you will conduct yourself in the desolation which will come after, taking a new strength for that time. So this reminds me a little bit of what St. Francis de Sales used to talk about in terms of making a spiritual bouquet. I think that's what he said, where in times of consolation, there's a lot that the Lord can give us. And it's important for us to pay attention to what the Lord's giving to us. And he speaks to us. He inspires us. It's good to journal and to receive. What did the Lord say to me? What is he saying to me now? He's giving me insight. He's giving me direction. He's changing things within me, and he wants me to pay attention to this and to cooperate with it. Maybe he's leading me into more serious practices of one, spiritual proposals of one kind or another. So we write those things down. And then we also remember what he told us that built us up and encouraged us. And then we're in time of desolation. You pull that out and you meditate on it. You think about it. It's kind of related to rule number 6. Rule number 10. So in time of consolation, think how you will conduct yourself in a time of desolation. I will have a strategy. When desolation comes, I'm going to take these things that the Lord has given to me. I'm going to apply rule number 6, that is to take action right away, prayer, meditate on these things that the Lord's given me in times of consolation. I'm going to examine myself and see if I'm the cause of coming into this period through laziness and slothfulness and lukewarmness, and I need to repent. I need to change direction. I need to convert and go back to what the Lord wants me to do. So this is what it is to build up, you know, your arsenal so that you're ready to fight when the time comes. We're going to take up rules number 11 and 12 tomorrow. Hope you can join us. Ask others to join in as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.